or should I say my cisgender comrades?
I'm not sure how that works. Over the past 20 years, there was a revolution in worship. Some of it good, some of it not so good. And the revolution, of course, came with the writing of new praise songs. And again, some of them are very good and some aren't. Just like the old hymns, some are good and some aren't, you know. And what makes a song old is age, right? You know, Shout to the Lord now was, you know when that was published? 1990. So do the math. It's in most hymn books now, right? Shout to the Lord. This one, I think, is going to hit the hymn books in new editions by Matt Redman. And he's very honest. He's a worship leader. He's very honest. And he knows that sometimes worship can cross over the line between heartfelt worship and spirit and truth and performance. And so this is, as an artist, his rendition, his prayer to Jesus, which is Stand and Sing, Please.
When the music fades,
all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about him. Now, does anybody know for sure what tomorrow is going to be like? No. All right? We don't even know what it's going to be like an hour from now, right? But you know, because Jesus lives, we can face whatever comes. Amen? Amen. Would you lift your voices, please?
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days. Because Christ lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen.
Amen. He lives.
Every founder of other religions is dead and decayed in their grave. Jesus is the only one who conquered the grave. Amen. As we come to the altar this morning and we look at the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news, I'm praying this next song would just open our hearts to what God has for us today. So would you sing it prayerfully, please?
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, what a
Savior! Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasures you found.
Amen. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Thank you, guys. Great singing. And you may be seated. As our responsive reading today, I got to figure out where to put this. I chose a familiar verse from Romans 1:16. In light of our social climate, and unfortunately, I have to say, our political climate, we need to hear these words that were inspired by the Holy Spirit, given to Paul to write to us. Here he's writing to the church in Rome, and this has application for us today. Because in days going forward, you may hear that the gospel is offensive. And it is. It's meant to be offensive. And I'll tell you the difference between a gospel being offensive and presenting the gospel brutally. There's a difference. The gospel, when it's presented in love, is an affront to pride, isn't it? Because we have to admit that we fall short of God's expectations. We have to admit that we are rebels or sinners against God. And we have to come humbly before the cross and receive the gift that's been won for us, forgiveness in Jesus Christ by his blood. And it's offered to us by grace through the love of Christ. And, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, it's too good to be true. Well, it is true. But for those of us who have embraced that, what does it mean? Listen, we've been entrusted with the most powerful message in the world. the most powerful message in the universe. This is not just for pastors, but this is for people who are saved, who have been born again, who have become Christ followers by faith alone. So would you read this verse with me, please? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Notice the word everyone who believes, right? This is not excluding anyone. It's not saying that if you're not Jewish, you know, you can't know Christ. This is not saying if you're not Italian, you can't know Christ. This is everyone, everyone who believes, first the Jew and then the Gentile. Is it not on? Okay. Well, hopefully it's feeding. I don't know. It says live. It is. Okay. All right. Well, we hope for the best, right? Listen, maybe this will encourage people to come out, you know? In any case, the gospel is something we should never be ashamed of. And again, I'm going to talk about this during the message, but there's a way we can present it in love, speaking to a person's need in a way that we can present it very brutally and out of love. So as we before the message, I want to just pray. I want to pray for Diane, that God comfort her in this time. I want to pray for our healthcare workers. They're still, you know, on the front lines with all this stuff. Let's pray that the vaccines work as they're supposed to work, and protect those who have gotten them with minimal side effects. And we need to pray for our country. We really do. So would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we want to lift our sister Diane up to you. She lost a brother today. Father, we are so grateful that he knew Jesus. And we take great comfort in the fact that when he closed his eyes here, he saw his Savior in heaven. So we thank you. But for Diane and the rest of the family, Father, we pray that you would encourage them, give them strength through this time of mourning and grief. And Father, we pray that they would hold on to the great memories of Daniel. And we ask, Father, that you hold this family close to you. And so, Father, we continue to pray. We pray for our frontline workers, our health workers, our retail workers, delivery people, people who deal with people daily, each day. Pray, Father, that we continue to be cautious and yet we continue to relate to people. Father, I need to pray for these vaccines. I pray that they do what they're intended to do with minimal side effects. I pray, Father, that they would be effective even more than our imagination. But Father, may we never ever think that we take credit for all of this. Father, you get the credit. And we just ask that you bring healing. We ask you restore wellness. We ask that this virus would burn itself out, Father. And restore us, Father. Reopen places of worship. Many are still closed. Reopen places where we can gather and study the Word of God. Would you work in the administration of hospitals where they would allow family and friends even to come and be with people? And Father, even pastors are not allowed in at this point. And so, Father, as we pray for that, I pray for our nation. I pray, Father, that this Equality Act would be defeated. I pray, Father, that some way, somehow, you would cause us to come back to the principles of the Bible. To know that you're the creator, we're just a creature. To know, Father, that your creation is a sensible creation. And Father, that man wants to recreate that in ways that are harmful and detrimental. And so, Father, we offer these prayers up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray in his name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. I want to ask a question this morning. Can you recall if your favorite gift you ever received? Can you? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, that ought to be the greatest, right? What else? You know, but even when we're young, you know, you hope for that bicycle. Maybe you got it, you know. I used to want this toy dump truck. Remember green stamps? They went, all right? My mother used to collect the green stamps, and they give you a catalog, and I wanted this dump truck that actually worked. You know, you press the lever, and it dumps the thing. We used to play... Well, we, you know, from the city, we play in the mud and the dirt all the time. And, you know, I thought when I received that, that was a pretty neat gift. Gifts have a way of having us remember, having us say, yeah, I was excited about it. I'm going to ask you to remember when you first came to Christ. How incredibly wonderful that was. So the question I want to raise this morning is simply this. Why does the flame sometimes go out? Why isn't it as exciting now as it was back then? There's nothing wrong with the message. The message is always the message. That means it's got to lay in our hearts, doesn't it? You know what I think happens? I think over the years, you know, and our young people may not fully understand this now. They're getting a taste of it. But I think over the years, life can beat you up, right? In a lot of ways, life can beat you up. And that starts taking a toll. And we get lost in our circumstances. Instead of walking through our circumstances in the grace of God, we let the circumstances begin to rob us of our joy, and our purpose with God, and that's not a good place to be in, okay? So what I want to do with you today is bring you through Acts chapter 13, and there's a lot here, so I'm going to not hit on all of it. We may not even get through the message today fully. If not, we'll pick it up again next week. But this is Paul's first sermon, okay? His first that's recorded in Scripture. And there's a lot for us to learn here. First of all, let me start from the beginning. We're starting at verse 13, right? It says, from Paphos, Paul and his company sailed to Perga and to Pamphylia, where John Mark, that is not the Apostle John, but John Mark, left them to return to Jerusalem. That was a big discouragement to Paul, because they had been discipling this John Mark, young fellow, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And along the way, we don't know the particulars. He may have gotten homesick. He may have gotten physically sick. We don't know. But he chose to go home. And this was a huge disappointment to Paul. It sounds like later on in Acts we find out Paul tried to encourage him to stay. Barnabas was more compassionate, if I can put it that way. And by John Mark leaving, it really caused a rift between Barnabas and Paul. And we'll see how that works out in a little bit. But listen, is there anybody here that has lived life and not had disappointments? Right? I mean, we all have. We all have had disappointments. But right at the outset, what I want you to see was disappointments didn't discourage Paul and Barnabas from continuing to share the gospel. You know how many times I hear this? You know, as a pastor, you know, when people start staying away from church, they stop praying, they stop reading the scripture, and they'll say to me, Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with. Well, I may not, but God does. All right? And I could tell you this, you're dealing with it in the wrong way. I don't have to know all the details. But disappointment doesn't have to keep us from still proclaiming the message of the gospel and embracing it and drawing our joy from it. So look what happens, right? It says, from Perga they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After reading the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them saying, brothers, this is Paul and Barnabas, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak. What's exhortation mean? Does anybody know? Encouragement. If you have a word of encouragement, would you share it with the people? So, standing up, Paul starts his message. He says, fellow Israelites, Paul was a Jew, right? Fellow Israelites, and you Gentiles who worship God. So the audience are Jews and Gentiles who were seeking God, all right? That was the audience. And he says in very strong language, listen to me. The people of the God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their time in Egypt. And with mighty power, he led them out of the country. And you would say, why is Paul doing this? Paul didn't have the New Testament to preach from, right? All he had was the Old Testament. And you might say, well, gee, how can he preach Christ from the Old Testament? Well, it's there. Christ, you can see Christ on every page in the Old Testament. And he begins by recounting the grace of God. What is grace? What is it? God's unmerited favor, all right? Those words we say easily. But even that is it's a conflict with our ego, isn't it? I don't want anything I don't deserve. You know, I want to work for it. I want to earn it somehow. No. Grace in its purest form, which the gospel is God's unmerited favor towards us. When in Egypt, the people were put in hard labor. They were in slavery. God sustained them. And what Paul is trying to get to here is that when God intervened by grace, he didn't have to. He heard their cries. And he sustained them. How quickly we forget. They cried out for their freedom. And with his mighty power, God led them out of the country. For about 40 years, he endured. How do you like that? God endured their conduct in the wilderness. They were rebellious. Right after they went through the Red Sea on dry land, and God delivered them from Egypt out of slavery. One day, it's all it took, they started complaining. Moses, did you bring us out here to die? We had it better back in Egypt. God endured their conduct in the wilderness for 40 years, and he overthrew seven nations and given their land to his people as their inheritance. You can read that in Joshua. And all this took place about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. In the book of Judges, there were some good judges and bad judges. And I did a series on this, I don't know, probably 8 years ago, 9 years ago now. And Judges shows us the cycle of our own sinfulness, all right? The people of Israel will get in trouble. They end up crying out to God. God, in his grace, would deliver them, and they would make a vow to God, we'll obey you, and then forget it. And they were right back in the place where they started. In fact, they were even worse. And this cycle continued. And if you ever read the last verse in the book of Judges, it reads this. And man did everything that was right in his own eyes. Wow, were we in trouble? Sounds like today. They didn't care about God's eyes. They cared about their own. After removing Saul from kingship, by the way, because Saul he just didn't listen to God. He made David their king. God testified concerning him, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. So now what Paul is doing is saying to the Jews especially, God knows sin gave you a death sentence. And we're all born sinners. But I'm going to provide for that. Through the house of David, son of Jesse, I'm going to bring into the world my son, the Messiah. Israel was looking for a Messiah, right? A deliverer. But here's where they went wrong. They were looking for a militant deliverer who would defeat the Romans and the nations. And God, and they ignored, really, all of Isaiah. Because Isaiah said, no, the Messiah is going to come first as a suffering servant. A suffering servant. Well, he continues. From this man, David, descendants, God brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John the Baptist, this is now, preached repentance and baptism to all people of Israel. I like this. God never breaks his promises. He never breaks his promises. We do, don't we? Sometimes we do it inadvertently. Sometimes we do it on purpose. But God never breaks his promises. He promised Israel and man a Savior. And you know the story of Christmas, right? John the Baptist. He's the last of the Old Testament prophets. And you say, well, Pastor, why do you say that? Because he's in the New Testament. Well, no, he's really the last of the Old Testament prophets because he was the one who came to prepare the way for the Messiah. His message was very simple. Repent of your sin. That is, change your direction, change your heart, and be baptized. Very simple message. You know, the reason why Paul has recapped the history of Israel here is because these people needed to be prepared to hear about the Messiah. He said, look, here's the background. Here's how God was working, still working. And now what I'm about to tell you, you're going to realize this is all of God and all of his grace. By the way, most people thought John the Baptist was crazy. Remember that? He was wearing clothes that would feel like burlap on your sin. In the middle of the desert, right? He ate locusts, high protein diet. He confronted the religious people. Pharisees came out because people were getting baptized for repentance of sin, and the Pharisees, the religious people, got jealous. And they wanted to do away with John. And he called them whitewashed. You know what whitewash is? Whitewash is just like a water paint that you put on stuff to make it look good when behind it could be rotting. And that was the picture of the Pharisees. They look good on the outside, but in the inside, they were rotting. Well, then he continues. And John was completing his work. He said, who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you are looking for. In other words, I'm not the Messiah, but the one who's coming after me, meaning Christ, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He wanted to call all attention off himself and point it to Jesus. He's saying, no, I'm not the guy you worship. I'm here just to prepare the way. The one you're going to worship, I'm not even worthy of attending to his feet. Wow. Well, it says, fellow children of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been given. Now listen, I believe with my whole heart this is the greatest message in the world. As good, you know, as good as the message of the vaccines for the coronavirus is, that's good. I mean, that's excellent. This is even better. Because we are all born with a terminal disease. Every single one of us. You know, again, I hats off to those who were able to get this vaccine going as fast as it did and get it delivered and all. But suppose for one moment a vaccine was developed and whoever developed it refused to say anything. I mean, that would almost be criminal, wouldn't it? But we have the greatest message in the world for the most terminal disease. Because if anybody dies without Christ, there's eternal separation between them and God. There's eternal punishment in a place the Bible calls hell. For whatever reason, I listen to oldie stations. I know some of you do too. The oldie stations have been broadcasting John Lennon's song, Imagine There's No Heaven, right? Imagine There's No Hell. And, you know, the song is, I think he intended it to be a song of peace, right? And somebody just told me this last week. I was talking to them about the gospel. And he says, you know, Pastor, a lot of the wars in history were fought over religion. And my response was very simple. I said, the most conflict caused in humanity is caused by sin. We're all guilty. Because sin feeds pride. And pride wants power. And pride wants to manipulate. We're all guilty. And the person didn't quite know what to do with that. The message of salvation has been given to us. You know, Paul in another letter says we are ambassadors of Christ. You know what would happen if an ambassador brought a message to someone and it wasn't what the president says? He would get fired. Ambassadors are supposed to say very directly exactly what the leader says. That's our commission. That's the Great Commission. Go into the world. Make disciples. Teaching them all I taught you. And go with this incredible message. Look at verse 27. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. That's the Pharisees and the political authorities. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that they read every Sabbath. And Paul is saying, they had it in the word. They had it through the prophecies. This was the Messiah. And they didn't even recognize him. Not even the religious people recognized him. Well, that doesn't surprise me because religion and man's religion is built on pride and ego. And Paul goes on. He says, though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to execute him. Three kangaroo courts, right? We're going to look at that more closely in the coming days as we go to Easter. But three kangaroo courts, no charges had any legal grounds. None. They were all trumped up. Excuse the expression. That might have been a Freudian slip. I don't know. They were all made up. And not one had any substance to it. But yet the people and the religious leaders cried out for a convicted criminal to be released. When they carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. That was Joseph of Arimathea, But God, here's the turning point. But, remember I said, anytime you see B-U-T, but, it's important. But God raised him from the dead. He conquered the grave. He conquered sin. And he conquered Satan. Right? And for many days he was sent by those, he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They were now his witness to our people. We tell you, what's the words here? The good news. This is the same word that's translated gospel in the Bible. The good news. We tell you the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us and their children by the resurrection, the raising up of Jesus Christ. Muhammad's still in his grave, right? Buddha's still in his grave. Jesus is alive. As it is written in the second psalm, and it goes back to the Old Testament. Excuse me for one sec. You get a drink. This was prophesied. This is God speaking. You are my son. Today I have become your father's. It's pointing to the resurrection, by the way. And it said God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subjected to decay. I will give you the holy and sure blessings of promise to David. So it is also stated everywhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. You know, David was buried, but his body turned back to what? Dust. Same thing with Muhammad. Same thing with Charles Taze Russell and some of the creators of the other cults. Their bodies turned to dust, but not Jesus. Didn't experience decay. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep, meaning he died, and he was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my friends, now here's the invitation. I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. That's the proclamation. Someone once said, and I don't know where the quote came from, but someone once said that the gospel is not a debate or a discussion. It is a proclamation. And that's for you to receive it or to reject it. Can you picture these days if this was a proclamation given in a government chamber? Well, we got to form a committee on this. I'm not sure if this is right. We have to have some discussion on this. You know, I'm not sure if this is right. There's no discussion. This is the proclamation of the greatest message in the world. Without trusting Christ as personal Lord and Savior, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without the blood of Christ, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the resurrection of Christ, there is no forgiveness of sins. Now look, he continues with the invitation. Through him, and what's the word here? So say it like you're alive. Who believes is set free from what? Not some sins. Every sins. A justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Nobody can. The law is there to show us that we're unholy, right? Justification. What does justification mean? Anybody want to take a shot? Well, it's more than an explanation. You're on the right track. It's more than an explanation. Justification means, it's a legal term, that means you're going to be proclaimed as if you never did anything. Yeah. So when a person receives Christ as personal Lord and Savior, there's a proclamation in heaven that says, you're justified. You're justified, just as if you never sinned. You're justified. But I love this line. The believer is set free from every sin. One of the biggest challenges these days is learning how to forgive yourself. So if we're forgiven from every sin, why are you still holding on to some of yours? Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Here's a warning. Whoop. It says, look, you scoffers. This is pointed to the people who reject the message. Wander and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things. Isn't that great? They said, listen, on the next Sabbath, we want to hear more. Boy, you want to give me a heart attack? You know, come to me and say, hey, I really want to hear more. This is quite honestly why I like the School of Theology so much, because the people who attend there want to know more. They want to dig in. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devoted converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked to them and urged them to continue in what? Not the law, but the grace of God. This is an incredible moment. And don't think it didn't come without opposition. It says, on the next Sabbath, almost a whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Man, I pray for this. If all of Lacey were to turn out, there's not enough churches to hold them, to hear the word of the Lord. We desperately need to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with what? Particularly the Pharisees. What is this? By what authority? Same line they gave Jesus, right? By what authority do they do this? And then they began contradicting Paul, right? So they began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. It's interesting. When I was doing a translation on this, it said they began to contradict Paul, what Paul was saying, and heaped blasphemy on him. And here's the way it goes, right? I'll give you an example. You know, that Pastor Lou, I had this said to me by a church leader one time also. The Pastor Lou, boy, he preaches an awful lot about grace. And, you know, he doesn't talk about what we have to do. And they would come, you know, they would continue that and say, it's not just by grace, it's works plus faith. And now they distorted it. And now they perverted the gospel. And they perverted grace. And they were infuriated here. When this says they were filled with jealousy, they were hot under the collar. And so they started to try to break Paul's ministry down. Whoops, I'm sorry. It says, then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. I love this. We had to speak the word of God to you first, meaning the Jews. Since you reject it, and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. Whoa! Boy, that hits. Yeah? For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. You know how that translates? That's us. That's us. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. But the Jewish leaders, here we go again, incited the God-fearing women of high standing, the people with the money, okay? and the leading men, the political people and religious leaders of the city, incited. Boy, we hear a lot of that written now, right? Incited. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. This is not going to be a cakewalk. Sometimes we're going to feel like we're keeping high tide out with a broom. Because persecution is going to mount. But I want you to see the reaction. So Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust from their feet as a warning to them and went off to Iconium. I think I omitted a verse there. The next verse, let me read it for you. I did omit a verse. It says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They were just thrown out of a city, and they were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because they were, I'm sorry? Well, they struck a nerve, but they did what God wanted them to do. They proclaimed the greatest message on earth. Now listen, not everybody's going to receive the message. Sometimes it's a process. But remember when Jesus walked this earth, he healed 10 lepers, right? How many came back to worship him? One. A lot of the people that Jesus saved, a lot of the people that Jesus ministered to, kind of some of them just said thank you and went on. But, you know, there were some who followed him. What makes us think that when we start sharing the gospel, you know, people are going to automatically get saved? No, so it's a process. Sometimes that'll happen. But isn't it great to live a lifetime where you know you've been entrusted with the greatest message and treasure of this earth? And to know that you have shared that with someone. There's no greater calling than doing that. This world needs Jesus. This world needs the Word of God. This sermon had Christmas, Easter, Old Testament, and everything wrapped up into it. I didn't even exhaust everything. You know, I would urge you to read through it as you go home. But that line that Paul and Barnabas replied to the religious people and the political leaders who got so bent out of shape, for you have not considered yourself worthy of eternal life. Well, how about us? How about us? Jesus is still alive. Chip, what was the last line of come to the altar? Do you remember? Can you bring it up, Emily? The last line. Emily can make magic. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. That's Jesus coming back again. Tell the world of what treasure you found. Jesus is alive. Amen. Praise team, would you come up, please? I'm sorry I went a little longer today. Where did I put my mask? Here's why Jesus has to be proclaimed today, not only here, but all over. Because there are people in the world who will realize that God is alive. They'll realize that Jesus is alive. And they'll realize there's a better way. And that is the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the great gift of forgiveness through the blood of Christ. Would you stand, please?
Holy. nations rise to give honor and praise to your name. Let your face shine on us, and the world will know you live. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God. The universe will sing hallelujah to you. Holy, holy are you, Lord. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Let the nations rise to give honor and praise to your name. Let your face shine on us, and the world will know you live. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God. The universe will sing hallelujah to you, our King. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God.
Let your face shine on us, and the world will know you live. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God. The universe will sing hallelujah to you, our King. All the heavens shout your beautiful is our God. The universe will sing hallelujah to you, our King. Hallelujah to you, our King. Hallelujah to you, our King.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, would you dismiss us from this place in the power of the Holy Spirit. Give us love for people who need to know Jesus. And Father, when we have opportunity and we have earned it through building a relationship, would you help us be bold but yet loving as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be sensitive for those opportunities. Help us to understand that we may be part of a process in a person's life, but help us never to be ashamed of the gospel. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Not bad. We need one more. All God's people said,
amen.
Thanks, parking lot. Have a good day, guys.